Okay. Yathavastu ni punyani. Imadini tatastatha. Pariyata anti nareshvevam. Jiva yonishu kartrishu. Yatham. Just as. Vastuni. Commodities. Punyani. Meant for trading. Hema adini. Such as gold. Tataha. Tata. From here to there. Paryatanti. Move about. Nareshu. Among men. Evam. In this way. Jiva. The living entity. Yonishu. In different species of life. Kartrishu. In different material of fathers. Translation of purport. Just as gold and other commodities are continually transferred from one place to another in due course of purchase and sale, so the living entity, as a result of his fruitive activities, wanders throughout the entire universe, being injected into various bodies in different species of life by one kind of father after another. It has already been explained that Chituketu's son was his enemy in a past life and had now appeared as his son just to give him more severe pain. Indeed, the ultimately death of the son caused severe lamentation for the father. One may put forward the argument, if the king's son was his enemy, how could the king have so much affection for him? In answer, the example is given that when someone's wealth falls into the hands of his enemy, the money becomes the enemy's friend. Then the enemy can use it for his own purposes. Indeed, he can even use it to harm its previous owner. Therefore, the money belongs neither to the one party nor to the other. The money is always money, but in different situations it can be used as an enemy or a friend. As explained in Bhagavad Gita, it is not by any father or mother that the living entity is given his birth. The living entity is a completely separate identity from the so-called father and mother. By the laws of nature, the living entity is forced to enter the semen of a father and be injected into the womb of the mother. He is not in control of selecting what kind of father he will accept. Prakritih kriyamanani, the laws of nature force him to go to different fathers and mothers, just like a consumer commodity that is purchased and sold. Therefore, the so-called relationship of father and son is an arrangement of prakriti or nature. It has no meaning and therefore it is called illusion. The same living entity sometimes takes shelter of an animal father and mother, sometimes a human father and mother. Sometimes he accepts a father and mother among the birds and sometimes he accepts demigod, father and mother. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore says, Brahmanda Brahmitako Bhagavan Jivan Guru Krishna Prasada Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. Harassed life after life by the laws of nature, the living entity wanders throughout the entire universe in different planets and different species of life. Somehow or other, if he is fortunate enough, he comes in touch with a devotee who reforms his entire life. Then the living entity goes back home, back to Godhead. Therefore it is said, Janamejana visave pita mata poya, Krishna guru nahi mile bhaja hari e. In the transmigration of the soul through different bodies, everyone in every form of life, be it human, animal, tree or demigod, gets a father and mother. This is not very difficult. The difficulty is to obtain a bona fide spiritual master in Krishna. Therefore, the duty of a human being is to capture the opportunity to come in touch with Krishna's representative, the bona fide spiritual master. Under the guidance of the spiritual master, the spiritual father, one can return home back to Godhead. Jai. The verse is speaking about the transmigration of the soul from one body to another, and the comparison is given here that as one thing is purchased, something is purchased and sold on the market. Similarly, the soul goes from one body to another. If you have a golden ring or some object made of gold and you want to sell it, then there is one owner. And then that owner decides to sell that item, sells by a particular price, and then that another owner gets that same gold, which can do with it whatever it wants. So the gold doesn't have, cannot choose what's going to happen with it. That's how a living entity is getting another body, another mother and father. It's not, it goes to the to some kind of market and says, oh, I like this one. I like this couple. I like that couple. Now, karmana daivana nityana patyate karmana daivana nityana is the beginning of the verse that speaks about how living entity gets the body. There are three steps, basically, that one gets a new body. One is by karma. Karma is what kind of body person deserves according to previous activities. In this world, we gain pious and impious credit, and by some combination of these two, we get the opportunity to get a body. So in this way, we choose the body. Not that we pick the body that we like, but we get the body that we deserve according to the law of karma. Then second thing is also mentioned here in the purport, that the mother and father, then the soul is forced into the semen and then is injected to the womb, where the combination biological thing goes on. This is all biology. It's not that we choose, oh, I'm gonna be conceived in this way, I'm gonna be conceived in that way. It just happens as nature, according to nature's system. Then there's in this verse, is not in this that we read, but the verse that I quoted from Bhagavatam, from the second canto, I'm not sure where it's the number, I should have looked at it beforehand. There's also the hand of Krishna is also present there. So this is the third reason. Without Krishna, nobody can be born without Krishna's sanction. Well, nothing can happen without Krishna's sanction, but this is also here mentioned specifically. It's according to karma, then the system is that mother and father come together, and also when the situation is good, then Krishna is actually the one who puts the soul into this, into the matter. This is the technicality of one's conception. Krishna puts the soul into the body, into the embryo. If Krishna wouldn't put it, then it would go to waste. So Krishna is also there. From the very beginning, at the time of conception, Krishna is present. So soul is like in this way, deinus minyata dehi, changing bodies, like changing clothes. It sounds simple, but it isn't as simple. The logic is simple. It's easy to understand when you think about it. That's the only logical explanation. The soul is eternal, but is enwrapped into the three modes of material nature that are acting, responding to one another in different combinations, and it's quite a complicated situation. The net of conditioned life. And then one life can be very much different from one to the other. And the transmigration is very complicated and painful. People and animals and everything that dies feels pain. They made some measurements. They say trees feel pain. We know that trees feel pain when we cut them, but that's different pain. That when trees die or plants die, is a different kind of pain. It's not the same type of pain. It's not the same level of pain. Like if the animal dies or human being dies, that's really painful. It appears that it depends on the level of consciousness. It says that the level of consciousness, level of being aware of what's happening in this world, is greater with human beings than animals and certain small animals and plants. So that appears to be corresponding to what level of pain they can feel. Some more pious animals, they feel a lot of pain. Cows, for example, they feel they're gonna die. I'm reading one scripture that speaks about civilization, Vedic civilization, and gives some details about eating meat. They were eating meat, even Brahmins were. They went for the feast. They were invited for the feast. It was normal that they were served meat. But that was never meat of a cow. And it was always meat that was connected to Jagya. In Kali Yuga, the incarnation of Krishna, Buddha, they appeared to make sure that nobody is going to kill animals in the name of Vedas. But previously, in previous times, they could hunt and they could kill animals and use them for sacrifice. And that was a legitimate way to purify their food. So in this age, we cannot do that. So for them, it was normal. They ate sages in forests, they ate roots and fruits, and sometimes they were invited for feasts. So yeah. Anyways, in this age we cannot kill any animal. Especially not. And even when that was legitimate to kill animals by hunting them. They never killed cows. Never. Only the most opulent, hugest sacrifice, go made a sacrifice. There is only one sacrifice that allowed killing cow. But for killing, hunting wild animals, that they were simpler sacrifices. With go made a sacrifice, only the king of the world could perform such sacrifice. That was greater sacrifice than Ashwamedha means horse sacrifice. They sacrificed a horse. So yeah. And just This is one thing that parents and also children who love their parents have difficulty to understand. I mean, it sounds controversial or counterintuitive or against the what we feel. It says here that it's illusory to think someone is mother, someone is father, or someone is a child. It's illusory to think other people to be family members, friends. That's part of the illusory state that we are in, condition, sign of conditioned life. This is my husband, this is my wife. Material designations. Well, yeah, we are in illusion. And we believe this, and we feel this is like this. We feel this reality. But it's not actual reality. It's one version of reality. It feels so real. Oh, this is my mother, this is my father. It feels incredibly real. That's why relationships in this world, they're the main thing that is keeping us in this world. Religions, they made the whole business out of it. You go to heaven with your family to make more members, to increase the members' faith in their institution. Because they knew that the value is family. So they connected this strong value of this world. Oh, you're going to go to heaven with them. Not saying that cannot happen, but it's going to be still heaven. It's not going to be spiritual world. Because the identity that of who we actually are, our real identity, is in fact completely different than for what we believe we are as this body and our friends, enemies, family members. This is all related to this body. And it feels real because our own body feels real. We identify with this body. So this is the technicality of it. The source is what is mine and who am I? The question is, what I think is mine and what I think is I? Who I think I am? This is a fundamental philosophical point. But the actual spiritual spark within has completely different identity than this body. So in relation to this identity, nobody is mother, nobody is father, nobody is friend, nobody is enemy. That's why I said that in Bhagavad Gita that a sage sees with equal vision, does not consider anyone better and anyone worse. This is a great point. Every Paramahamsa sees everyone equally, everything equally. Sees gold and stone on an equal level. Because sees connection to Krishna. And every living entity sees on an equal level. Because can see the soul within. Which is completely different. Differences are, this type of differences that we are talking about are only possible in material world. Our identity in spiritual world, the difference is there, on a different level. There are differences, but they're transcendental level differences. Those differences, they enhance our rasa, enhance our relationship with Krishna. But the differences in this world keep us in material world and cause our continuous illusory state. we are basically owned by the combination of material elements in this world. Like gold, which is passed from one and sold to another, then is owned by another person. Basically, we can say it has another different identity. It's still the same gold, but it's got different identity now because it's owned by another person. So with each birth we get, even when we are children and we grow up, then we're changing identities. We're changing body, we're changing the sense of who we are. When we are a small baby, we think we're something different than when we grow up. And then when we grow up, we get educated, we get different positions. And then we see that we're changing identity already in this body, as well as we're changing bodies. But generally, when we look the whole life, then we are owned by a different person. We are same gold, but we are owned by a different person. And then in next life, it's going to be the same. Same boring point. But when we realize we're actually gold, then we discover our true purpose, which is to be the servant Jivara Surpa Hoi Krishna Nitya Dasa. We're eternally servant of Krishna. Then when we become owned by Krishna, then we find our true position. We need to hand ourselves to Krishna now. That's the essence. When we hand ourselves to Krishna, then Krishna owns us, not any more material energy. Then we go back home, back to Godhead, and Krishna is our last owner. He's the only one actually who can really appreciate the beauty of gold. The soul always feels it doesn't have the real owner who can really appreciate the value of gold. The soul always feels unhappy. It's like giving an expensive necklace and jewels to a pig. That's how soul feels. It's shiny, but it's in the hands of someone who doesn't know the value. Soul feels like that. But Krishna knows the value and puts us in the right position eternally. We're talking about Dharma, about being positioned in correct psychophysical, correct position in according to our psychophysical nature, according to our Dharma. But that's only for one life. That's based on piety. But even that is superficial, because we need to respond to Sanatana Dharma. We need to respond to the need of the soul, which is to be sold finally to the ultimate owner who can appreciate the value and who's going to be the owner forever. Everyone needs someone to follow. Everyone needs an owner. It's in material world, nothing is independent from another thing. Everything depends on something else. Think about it. Every human being depends on other human beings. Nobody is completely independent. Everyone needs a leader. Prabhupada, I was listening to class the other day, says everyone needs a leader. Everyone wants a leader. Everyone has leaders. Every group of people have leaders. Modern world, we choose our own leaders, entertainers, and politicians. But why not choose Krishna? Krishna is leader of everyone. But we have to open up to that. We have to open up to Krishna being our leader. Krishna is our leader, our owner. We should go deep into this point. We should act. And then be surrendered to Krishna. Sarva dharman parityaja. Then no more being handed from one hand to others like some object on the market. It is like that. It's uncertain. It's when we are born, it's like having a new life with impossible to predict what's going to happen. Uncertain future. It's future is always uncertain. Some people know this better, some people don't know this so well. But it's a new life with uncertain future. It's always like that. It's not news. In one life we may have, we may change the situation which we are, but it's, we think it's gonna be better, but it's still, it's uncertain. Maybe better. But we never know, we can never know. But with Krishna we can know. With Krishna is always, future is always certain. Because Krishna is so amazing, so wonderful, so perfect. And He does care. He is the one who is aware of the eternal relationship. And He is responding according to that relationship perfectly. He is, the acharyas explain, He is Rasa Raja. This means, the explanation of this name of Krishna is that He cannot perfectly respond only to one, two, or three people. We have experience in this world that it's fine to have, it's impossible to find a person who would be perfectly responding to our relationship. One person, but Krishna is so capable that He can perfectly respond to every soul in existence. Not in material world, but in existence. Existence, the whole existence is much bigger than only material world. So that's the leader we're looking for. Someone who can actually respond perfectly to the relationship that we desire, innately desire, which is part of who we actually are. Because the soul's got capacities, soul's got desire. Soul's got desires. And that innate desire of the soul is only connected to Krishna. Desires that are, that we know in, that we have in this life, they are different, they're not coming from the soul. They're there because the soul is there, but they're perverted reflection of the actual desire. Soul's got continuous desire. This desire of the soul never stops. But it manifests in this world in it's a converted reflection, like the spiritual world, it says, is converted. Material world is perverted reflection of the spiritual world. We can associate some things that are happening here with the spiritual world. We can connect, okay, this is happening in this world, is happening also in the spiritual world. But it's like looking in a mirror, that's a dirty mirror. First of all, it's a reflection. It's not the real face that we're looking at. It's a reflection of that face. Second of all, it's perverted. It's dirty. So we don't get the clear picture from this world, what's happening in the spiritual world. But it is, there is some connection. We can we can understand something about the spiritual world by looking at this world. That's why it's for very reflection. And also it's our desires and our existence in this world is similarly perverted. There is some connection with the soul, but our desires, our identity that is there, then our body, everything, it's based on desire of the soul to be Satchitananda, to be always blissful, to be always full of knowledge, to be eternal. It's got this connection, but it's completely messed up. The illusion causes this mess. We believe that Satchitananda can be achieved in this body. Satchitananda can be achieved in this world. But that's the wrong place to look for the goal. But the tendency, the idea that these things, the feeling that we have the right to enjoy life, the feeling that we have the right to be happy forever, comes from the soul, because it is capacity of the soul. It is the desire of the soul. It is the function of the soul to be experiencing pleasure and to be able to give pleasure. So yeah, but in separation from Krishna, this cannot happen. Bhagavatam says that whatever appears to be of any value and is not in connection to Krishna, that is illusion. So whatever appears to be of any value to us, maybe positive value, maybe negative, something is very important to us, one way or the other. And if we're unable to see it in connection to Krishna, then we are in illusion. That's the symptom of illusion, it's a sign of illusion. Being soul, that is illusion. Because for the soul, pure soul, for Nitya Siddha, for Siddhas in spiritual world, it's impossible to see something that's not in connection to Krishna. They see everything in connection to Krishna. It's as normal to them to see things in connection to Krishna as it's normal for us to not see everything, for us as conditioned souls, not particularly for everyone in this room. For conditioned soul to not see things in connection to Krishna. Someone say, this is also in connection to Krishna. Bad things that happen in this world, they're also in connection to Krishna. Impossible. No, it is possible. They have to be in connection to Krishna, otherwise they couldn't happen. For every movement there is, for everything that happens, there is Krishna, Krishna's connection there. It's also, there's also living beings, and there's also nature, but it's also the transcendental Lord is also, is more things. It's not just one thing. When we look at something, as Prabhupada says, the material world is made of two energies, spiritual and material. It's not every bad thing that we see, everything that we don't, everything that bothers us. It's not only one energy. It's not just negative energy. It's also spiritual energy. Spiritual energy is Krishna. So they're together, merged together. They are merged. You can't really separate them, that's why they're one. But you can separate them in your vision, in your understanding, in your how you view the world. You can view the world as it's material, as it's bad, as it's terrible, which it is. But, you know, when you see negative things, then you may say, oh, this is bad. But when you see good things, you say, this is good. But then you can see also that good and bad, they're also spiritual. So then, for you, everything becomes in connection to Krishna. Therefore, the choice makes you Krishna conscious. Prabhupada says everything in one lecture, everything, the material world is made of spiritual and material energy, and the choice is ours. The choice is ours whether to serve Krishna or not to serve Krishna. So the point is that we want that we would be owned by Krishna, not by material, uncertain material life that is constantly passing us from one hand to the other, from one life to the other. And future is always uncertain, fear and anxiety are constantly present. Hare Krishna. Shigdo, okay. Yeah. Esse eu vou dizer tudo morto em inglês, guarda. This is the same thing happening here with Chitraketu and his son. One life he wanted, and previously he didn't want. In previous life, they were enemies. But this enemy wanted revenge. So he was born in Chitraketu's family as his son. So Chitraketu, he loved him so much. Yes, we don't recognize ourselves. We may be met before. We don't, and we complicated our lives by living unethically previously. And now we have to meet again in different positions, different times. And we may have completely different relationship as before. But we did meet in previous lives before. Yeah, the good news is we can clear our karma, but if that we can clear our karma only if we want this. Because if we are not Krishna conscious, if we don't try to get purified, then clearing our karma doesn't mean much. So it's just more complication. Because I hurt someone, and then next life, that same person comes and hurts me back. It just, the energy never goes away. It just transforms, goes from one place to the other. So, now before I had the offense, now that other person offended me and, you know, to purify me, now I'm pure of that offense. Now that person has got this offense. And we're going to have to meet again to somehow rectify this. And in the meantime, maybe do something good to purify. It's too complicated. Karma is too complicated, especially in Karma Yuga, Kali Yuga. You can't really count on meeting person, oh, this person is going to purify me. But if your objective is to purify yourself and live according to Krishna conscious principles, then everything that happens in your world is purifying for you. Everything, because then you engage, whatever happens, then you somehow connect it with Krishna, and then you get purified, and then nobody gets dirty again. Except people who make offenses to you. then that's different. But for as far as yourself and as far as people who are connected to you, they get purified by Krishna consciousness. That's what that's called prayaschitta. Without prayaschitta, we can't really purify. This is one point that someone takes away our karma if they offend us, if they torture us, but then that's gonna not purify us not purify our desires and stuff, and we're gonna make the same mistakes in the future because we're gonna forget, and tendencies may still apply, but some part of karma may be taken away. But this is just superficial. But prayaschitta means that you don't wait for someone to offend you because you offend someone else. You purify yourself, and on some levels you purify that person who you offended, and there's no more debt there. We are indebted to so many people. We are indebted to every parent we ever had in any life. Parents, when we are born, then there's several debts we have to pay in that life. To parents, that's one of them. To Shastra, to Guru, we should always keep in mind that we should give back to them. That whatever we do in our lives, it's for someone like that. In some types of psychotherapy, they use this concept that whatever success I achieve, whatever good things I want to achieve in my life, I'm doing for you, oh my dear parents. This is dharma. This is definitely a shastric point. We don't do for ourselves, we do for parents. If you read Ramayana, you get a strong sense of this. I'm reading Ramayana, so there the levels of which the people in Ramayana go to please their parents is incredible. Rama, what he does for his father, and the level of forgiveness and respect, and never thinking bad word about Kaikeyi. And some of them, they've had a lot of negative emotions about Kaikeyi, who did a lot of bad, caused a lot of pain to many people. But that was part of the Leela. They basically, Ramachandra, if his path wouldn't go to the forest, he could find excuses in Shastra and that he would go back, but he didn't. Because the demigods, other group of devotees didn't want him to. Sages appeared, actually, when Bharat came to Rama to invite him back, and they quoted all this scripture, all this wisdom, that it's okay now. You can go back. You can become king. But then, he didn't want to go because he's Rama, he can do whatever he wants. So, but then sages from other planets, celestial sages, they came and they told Bharat, everyone go back. And just take padukas of Rama and whatever the plan was. If Rama wouldn't go back, then they should fulfill that plan. And Rama gave all blessings. You know. But the point is, that's one of the points why Rama, why he wouldn't go back, is because he wouldn't. One of his arguments basically was that he didn't want to make his father infamous. His father was already dead, but he didn't want to pollute his name. He didn't want anyone to think bad of his father. So if he would go back, then this would mean that he disrespected his father, and other people may think that it's okay to disrespect Dasharath or their own fathers. So it's like deep culture connected. Modern days, some people, they figure this subtle laws of nature, they figure them out. And they use this to improve their lives. But you can't really get as far as you can go if you connect these therapies, these ideas with Krishna. Because that's real. Bhakti is real prayaschitta because it engages you also. It's not just one ritual, it's whole life you dedicate to Krishna. And with that you purify and you don't get dirty again. Of course we understand the world and the people in our world, that they're there to help us in that path. That's supposed to be there, this conception. But if it's not in connection to Krishna, then it's just running here and there. We don't actually know what we're doing if you don't get superior knowledge from scripture and from devotees. Nobody really knows. Maybe they figure out some little thing. And, this is good. Okay, you have to respect parents and then you include them in therapy. You discuss issues and problems and good things about what was your childhood like and things like that. And so there are many different tactics how they can do that. But it's like, it's good they do that. I'm not saying it's not good. Like vegetarianism is good for everyone. But that's hardly a step forward. It's only good to make devotees' lives easier, because if the whole world is vegetarianism, devotees don't need to worry about what they buy in stores and stuff. And Krishna consciousness is so superior because it deals with different identity. It does not deal with the past, present and future of only this body. We already know that past, present and future does not only connect to this body. It connects to many different bodies before and many different bodies after. Hopefully not, but generally, if you're conditioned. But Krishna consciousness deals with the real identity. Spiritual identity that's always connected to Krishna. That's the purification we're looking for. If you're looking for this type of purification to find the actual ego, then everything in our lives is going to be to purify us, to get us to that goal. It a lot depends on the person, how you receive these challenges and these things in your life, the people in your life. It's not just it happens, it has to be to purify me. That's one thing that may help you cope with the situation if you're in a negative situation. But actually, you have to add to help me get to Krishna, because then this whole situation is going to end forever. We're interested in finishing this job of purification. So that's our goal. Okay, Hare Krishna.